Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Andrew Luck shocked the sports world on Saturday, announcing his retirement from the NFL at just 29 years old. Luck has been out this preseason with a mysterious lower leg injury that has most recently been called an ankle injury. But during the Colts' third preseason game with Andrew Luck on the sideline, news broke that the 29-year-old QB would be permanently stepping away from football, citing constant injuries as the reason for losing his joy for the game. Luck said, quote, "This is the hardest decision of my life, but it is the right decision for me." We're joined now by FS1 NFL analyst Antonio Cromartie. Good to have you with us.
Glad to be back.
Bro, thanks for coming in early this morning.
Definitely, definitely.
Especially because you were teammates with Andrew. I think it's interesting. We want to get your reaction to this. How surprised were you by the announcement and his decision to retire?
I was surprised, but then I wasn't. And the reason I say that is because when I played with him in 2016, you had a guy that was going through the shoulder injury the whole entire, even during the preseason. He was hurting during the preseason. I mean, he was going into practice where the only thing he did was individual drills. And the only thing he did was hand the ball off. He didn't throw the ball during practice. He didn't do any of that at all. So I can understand him. I mean, you got a guy that's been beat up his whole entire career. Last year was the first time he's ever had an offensive line. So now you look at it, now he's dealing with another injury. That plays with your mind. When you got to focus on injury more than you got to focus in on playing your next opponent, watching the film, understanding what you have to do, it takes your mind out of the game. You lose the joy of the game. And I think that's where he was. He just didn't have fun with it because he was dealing with so many injuries.
Right.
And that takes a toll on you mentally and physically. You know, and it's sad that the fans want to boo him because he's retired. He did it for himself and his family at the end of the day. And they need to understand that. We're human. We're not this mortal person like Tom Brady.
Yeah. everybody can't be Tom.
And outlast everybody. But, you know, they need to understand this kid has a life to live. And he stopped on his time and not when things got really bad for him.
You look at it, the thing is, Skip, he really couldn't have a vacation. He could have no offseason. His offseason involved surgery and rehab. Well,
not every time, but.
But for the, like you said, the last 4 years.
Yep. Yeah.
He's married now. I think he has a small child now. So when you factor all those things in, Skip, he's like, see, Tom, like, plays the Super Bowl, win, lose, or draw. He's healthy. He goes on vacation. He and Giselle and the family go here, go there. It's a whole different ball game when you have shoulder surgery and you're going to be out the entire season. Or you have kidney lacerated.
Yep.
And you're going to miss your entire offseason is your rehab and you don't get a break from it. And that's constant. So here he is again. He's like, is this Groundhog's Day? Is this deja vu? Because I'm right back again doing this something that I've done everything right, Skip. He tried to, like, you know, I watch what I eat and I train and I do this and this and this. And then here we go again. Yeah. And I believe, Skip, he knew he was not close to returning. And he said it, Skip. He said, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do what I did in 2016. Where I just, all I do is, we were hearing now, is Crow is telling us, he didn't practice. All he did was hand the ball off, individual drill. See, I want to do that. He says, the one thing I don't want to be is average. I commend him. Because a lot of people, now, it's a lot easier to walk away when they're not going to recoup any of the money, and you just got a $12 million roster bonus about a week, about 2 weeks ago, Skip. That makes it easier to walk away.
He has made a bunch of money.
Barry Sanders and Calvin Johnson said, hold on, what? Detroit, that's the way you do it. You don't ask for the money back, considering the service that I've given you. But, Skip, I think everybody was surprised. But when you really get down to it, Skip, some guys like, but I'll just keep doing it. Like Thomas Davis. Thomas Davis tore his ACL three straight times, Skip. He's like, I'm gonna keep going but everybody is wired differently. I can't say because one man did it this way, that's the way another man should do it.
Yeah.
That's not how I am, Skip. Clearly, he said the thing that I took most, and he said a lot during his press conference, he said, being injured and rehabbing robbed me of the joy to play this game. I didn't need to hear anything else.
So what's the moral to this story? You can't play quarterback in this league the way Andrew tried to play it his first 3 years.
No, no.
He was trying too hard to be great. And when he tried too hard with an average offensive line, he'd hold the ball and he'd hold the ball, and he would take shots that were just unholy shots. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. First 3 years. Then sometimes he would take off and run because he can move pretty mm-hmm. well for a man that big, and he's right. a big man.
Right.
And when he took off running, what would he try to do? If somebody was in his way, he'd try to run them over. Yep. Linebackers, D tackles, whoever they were, he'd just run through them. And you just can't last in this league the way Tom Brady does unless you play the way Brady plays, which
Correct.
Is it's Correct. Gone, it's gone.
Get
it's
the
gone.
Ball out. Yep.
Right? Everything is timing, and the ball is gone because he is trying to avoid as much contact as possible.
Right.
And he's pretty good at avoiding contact. And it frustrates you because you're saying, yeah, I could play until I was 50 a quarterback if they protected me.
Yeah, nobody will hit me.
Okay. But he's also taking advantage of the fact they can't hit him after the ball is out because
right.
once upon a time, you could blast him pretty good.
Right.
Right?
100% right.
Okay. All right. So Luck didn't get that the first 3 years. And why didn't he get that? Because he was a good kid who's trying to please everybody, including his coaches and his family and the media, who had already proclaimed him to be the next John Elway out of Stanford University. And he was replacing the legend, Peyton Manning. Man, it's hard. It's a lot of stuff that you're trying to live up to. And the truth is, in part because of injuries, he could never quite live up to his billing as the number one overall pick. And I think that ate at him as much as the injury rehab ate at him mm-hmm. to the point what just happened the last time we saw him play. They were at Kansas City. It was a pretty big game to get to the AFC Championship game. And he was not very good in that game. He threw for 203 yards, threw a couple picks, had a QBR of 20, which is on a scale of 0 to 100, not very good. It wasn't one of his better games.
Right.
He fell to 4-4 in playoff games in that game. He's got 12 touchdowns in the postseason to 13 interceptions. So he doesn't have a lot to show for the billing that he had coming out of Stanford and after he went first overall.
Well, you got to think about this. The billing that he had was he was coming down, he was trying to replace who?
Yeah.
Peyton Manning.
Okay.
So now, once he started winning games and replacing them, what happened to the offensive line? They never secured anything for him
okay.
until this past year. I think last year was one of his better years
yeah.
just from a passing standpoint where he was. Now, Kansas City, they just had something different for him. Mm-hmm. You can't put nothing
good,
about
they're
that.
They're not very I good think on had, defense, but
right.
he wasn't very good as a
right.
quarterback.
But was Peyton Manning ever good in the playoffs?
Well, he got better once he...
I'm just asking a question.
He got Denver.
Was he better
in
the playoffs?
No,
yes.
He wasn't great.
Oh, that's my whole, my point exactly.
Boy, he might be the... I've always made the case he was the greatest regular season quarterback ever.
Yeah.
Man, the numbers he put up were...
Yeah, and that was the thing is, Skip, it's only natural. The guy that you're replacing. Maybe if it was 5 or 6 years removed, that's one thing. But he immediately came after Peyton. Mm-hmm. Peyton was a 4-time league MVP. He had gone to 2 Super Bowls. He had all these accolades. And then this is the reason why. The guy has a wing and a hospital named after him. Mm. That means not only was he a great football player, he was a great humanitarian.
Well, don't you think that house is the house that Peyton built?
Oh, they were gone a long time
yeah,
ago.
Yeah,
yeah Lucas Oil is because of Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
There's a reason why his statue is outside, and rightfully so, Skip, but the expectations, and I feel that Ryan Grigson and Jim Irsay did him a disservice because they wanted him to be like Peyton. We're going to have Reggie Wayne. We're going to have Marvin and Dallas Clark and Edrin and Joseph Addai. We're going to have that. Well, you better protect your money if Andrew Luck. You better have guards to guard the vault as opposed to hiring cute tellers that's passing out money.
Mm. Especially if your quarterback is just holding on to the ball, trying to make the throw in the game,
well, you,
and he's getting rocked.
Well, Skip, you have to because you know your defense isn't very good. So the likelihood of you winning a 10-9 ball game with the defense that he had,
mm-hmm.
he knows he's going to have to score. And sometimes you have to hold on to the ball because it's going to take guys a little longer to get open. Now, what I couldn't agree with is that you trying to run over linebackers. You trying to run over defensive tackles.
Yeah.
You got to know when the journey's over.
Mm-hmm.
Going out of bounds, going to take, it's okay to punt the ball.
Yep.
But you won't last. You will not. I don't care how big you are and how strong you are as a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to consistently take those licks
no.
down in and down out
yep.
over 3-4 years.
No.
first year, second in the NFL in turnovers. His third year, second in the NFL in turnovers. Over his first 5 years, he was third in the NFL in turnovers. You just can't win that way. So he became a turnover machine, holding on to the ball too long with an average to below average offense.
But last year when he had them, had Quentin Nelson, and he had the first round center, and he had the first round left tackle, he put up 39 and 10, 39 and 12.
Those guys still there?
Yeah.
So wouldn't you look forward to playing behind those guys?
How can you?
Okay.
Maybe in a year I'll look forward to that, because right now I'm hurting too bad.
Which brings me back to the mysterious injury that he fairly recently suffered that we still don't know what it was.
Right.
They said it was his calf. Then it was some bone bruise. Then it was high ankle.
Yeah.
And something is wrong here, as Bruce Arians said yesterday. Something is wrong someplace here. Yeah. Maybe it was way worse than we have any idea of.
Well, you don't skip in the preseason. In the offseason, you don't have to be as open and honest with injuries as you would in the regular season.
Yeah.
And they're going to have to give a diagnosis.
That's true.
But he also knows, Skip, I believe the doctors have told him, you're still a couple of months away.
Mm.
If I'm a couple of months away, am I going to come back in November? Skip, am I going to really try and come back in November or December and try to lead this team? He's like, nah, I'm just going to step away and get my mind refreshed, get healthy, because he's not healthy. That was a broken man up there on Saturday night, Skip.
I watched the whole thing. You couldn't look away from hearing it and feeling his emotion. I just think of how challenging it was for him to get up in that moment after the news broke, the fans reacting that way. Yeah. It was hard.
That's you, Skip.
In that sense. I hope that he is at peace with this
decision. Skip Bayless will not take a day off. You know why? Because he enjoyed what he's doing. Now, the moment he doesn't enjoy it anymore, we ain't going to even be able to drag Skip up out of bed. But don't worry about it.
I will, 2 o'clock in the morning.
I will drag you out of bed.
Yep.
You're going to be doing this until you 80.
It's good to have your take on
jump
this,
out of bed.
Antonio.
I'm undefeated.
Oh,
we'll see you back here tomorrow. Dwight Howard is heading back to the Lakers. What could go wrong here? We'll go there
Nothing.
Next.
Nothing could go wrong.
A lot can go wrong.
Want to stay for that one?
Not go wrong. No
mercy. Returning to this weekend's big story, Andrew Luck shocked the sports world on Saturday, announcing his retirement from the NFL at just 29 years old. After Saturday's preseason game, Colts owner Jim Irsay left the door open for Luck to come back after getting mentally and physically refreshed. The team gave Luck a nice parting gift, too, reportedly allowing the QB to keep almost $25 million in contract bonuses that they had the right to recoup if they had wanted to. So, Shannon, I'm going to start with you. Scale of 1 to 10, what do you give Andrew Luck's comeback chances?
8.5, 9.
Seriously,
I do.
High.
Really?
Yes. Because I think he needs a physical and a mental and an emotional break. I just think going into the season injured, having to rehab during the season, being out, don't know for certain, but I'm saying he's going to be out at least 2 months of the season, was more than he was willing to take. I think if he can get his mind refreshed, I think I misspoke earlier, I think his wife is expecting. He doesn't have a child. His wife is expecting.
All right.
But he recently got married. And I think the thing is he just needed a break, Skip. I think Mr. Irsay also did the right thing by letting him keep the money. And that's not – every organization is not like this, Skip. The Detroit Lions, we saw two of their best players ever. They made them pay part of their bonus money back.
They did.
Barry Sanders and Calvin Johnson. The Dallas Cowboys, Tony Romo retired, and Jerry didn't make him pay a dime back. And we see a situation like this. So it varies from organization to organization whether or not if you retire early, they recoup some of the money. But I think – Mr. Irsay leaving up that possibility. Mm-hmm. And maybe he said, just make sure now, if you come back, I'm sure they're not going to relinquish his rights or anything, Skip. He's going to be on their books. He's going to be their property. And so I think he takes...
He has 2 years left.
2 years,
yeah.
So, and Mr. Irsay said something. He's like, here's a guy that could potentially be walking away from $500 million.
$500 million.
That lets you know that where his mind is physically, and I commend him for that. But I'm going to say 8.5, 9 that he comes back next year.
You make compelling points. Jim Irsay made compelling points during the going away press session, media session, because about three times he brought up, well, he could come back, and he compared it to Tiger Woods bouncing back, Michael Jordan coming back from his forced retirement. I'm not sure I want to put Andrew Luck in those two categories just yet, but still. I don't know. There's something about this. I'm going to go up to a 4. So I'm a little less than 50-50.
Okay.
Because... I've never been sure that everybody talks about how Andrew Luck loves football. I've never been sold on that. Is he really all in? Is this his be-all and end-all to play football? He majored in architectural design at Stanford.
Yes.
I read a story about it. He was reading a book about concrete. He was fascinated by it. He tried to tell his teammates, you won't believe this concrete and that concrete because he's into that. Well, who's to say with all the money that he's made, and obviously Ursa is leaving the door open by giving him the $25 million.
Right.
It's an enticement to say, hey, we're good to you. Wow. Maybe you want to be good back to us and come back after a year, and as you point out, where you kind of heal emotionally as well as physically, and then all of a sudden you're reinvigorated and you have a fresh start with us next camp,
right?
Next OTAs, whatever. But there's something about Andrew Luck that tells me he's got other vistas that he wants to conquer. He wants to do other things out there.
Maybe so, Skip, but here's a guy that didn't have a whole lot of national endorsements. I don't know what he had in Indy.
Well, he has no social media
at
all.
Yeah, I mean, every once in a while he'll tweet something from Captain Andrew Luck or so, you know.
No, that's something else, isn't that?
That's it. I think that's him.
I think it is.
Not positive.
I'm almost certain that's Captain.
Is it? Captain Andrew Luck. Did you hear what Jerry Jones wants him to do? Become president.
Oh, really?
That was his idea. Maybe he could be our next president. That was from Jerry.
He ain't got enough baggage. He ain't got enough baggage in the closet.
That's probably true.
He ain't done enough evil.
Maybe a good sign.
Not the way we trend. We're not trending in that direction. But Skip, I just think he gets away from the game. Skip is 29. I mean, and people are like, well, man, what do you do? What are you going to replace that with? I mean, this is a long time. I retired at 35. I was about to be 36. That's 7 years, that's 5-6 years less. And I played 14 years. Mm-hmm. I think if he gets a break, heals up, gives his body ample time, there's no rush. Mm. Because even when he had the shoulder surgery, Skip, and he missed that year, it was still a rush to what? Get back. Mm-hmm. Now, he'd like to say, it might not be next year. It might be 2 years. But I'm on my own timetable in which I'm going to heal up.
Mm. We'll be watching. Just hope he's at peace with the decision.
I know if the Cowboys had it, they'd be Super Bowl favorites.
Did the Redskins make the right call by going with Case Keenum over Dwayne Haskins? We talked about that last week. The decision has been made. That's next. No mercy. Andrew Luck shocked the sports world on Saturday, announcing his retirement from the NFL at just 29 years old. Luck has been out this preseason with a mysterious lower leg injury that has most recently been called an ankle injury. During the Colts' third preseason game with Andrew Luck on the sideline, news broke that the 29-year-old QB would be permanently stepping away from football, and fans in Indy weren't happy. So after the game, Luck said he heard the boos and admitted that it hurt. So, Shannon, how big of a problem did you have with these Colts fans
booing?
Had
a huge problem. Skip, this is unacceptable. The guy poured his heart and soul, gave you everything he had, almost lost a kidney, trying to win games for those people in that stadium. Not all of them booed, Skip, but one would have been too many. But this is what I tell guys all the time. I say, I want you to remember this. Fans, they applaud what you do, not who you are. And when you can no longer do that, watch. Skip, now he cannot win a game for him. He can't throw a touchdown pass. He can't help them in fantasy. I would have thought you'd like, man, he's not, because he could have stayed on the sidelines, Skip, knowing that there's a chance he's probably not going to play this year and collected $15, $20, $30, $25 million. But he says, no, I need to step away. And the appreciation that some of those in that stadium gave him is by booing him. What are you booing? Oh, I'm upset that he's not willing to risk his life for me, for my entertainment, because that's what football is, it's entertainment. Mm. And these guys do a great job of entertaining, but because he's like, you know what? I don't want to risk my health this year for your entertainment, you booing. He can't win you your fantasy, you booing. He's not going to throw a touchdown, and now you might not have the record that you thought you would have, but who knows, Jacoby Brissett, I think he's going to be pretty good, Skip. Especially with that offensive line, they can run the football.
Yep.
They still got Hilton and some of those guys that can make plays. Ebron, you boo the guy, Skip, because he wants to retire because he's mentally, physically, and emotionally drained from the last 4 years and what this injury has done to his body and his mind.
Mm.
And the thanks and the gratitude that you give him for the service that he provided is boo. Get out of here, you sorry rascal. Mm. That's unacceptable, Skip.
I didn't see it that way, and I didn't hear it that way. I think you're taking this completely out of context, because then you were able to sit and watch him pour his heart out to the cameras after the game. Those fans were shell-shocked by this because it was a very unfortunate circumstance during which the story broke during the game.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So he's on the sideline, and all they know, he's down there kind of cutting up with his buddies on the team, and he's laughing, and he seems to be in a really good mood, and all of a sudden, they're all seeing on their phones, what, he's retiring? So those fans, to my knowledge, have never booed once Andrew Luck. In all those years, all those darkest hours that he went through there, I don't ever remember them ever booing him.
So why now?
And I don't think they were booing him, they were booing it. The it was the shock, the frustration, the utter disbelief, the disillusionment of, wait a second, we're not going to have Andrew Luck this year? And I'm sure a lot of them had drafted him in fantasy football drafts. And they don't know anything because they haven't seen him speak yet, so they don't even know what's going on here. They're lost. They're booing it because they thought the team that they would watch.
Yeah, he is the it.
Yeah.
He is it.
No, I'm just saying the team is it because the team is getting a lot of Super Bowl glow here in the preseason.
Right.
You know, it was like, here we go.
Skip, and you're making my point. Because Andrew Luck can't win them games. That's what I'm booing.
They're booing it, but they're not booing him personally because they don't even know what's happened yet.
Skip, what do you
mean? They're just booing because
so why are they booing?
They're at a loss because they don't know what's going on.
So why not? Okay, why not wait and find out? Why you got to boo since you don't know what's going on?
They're emotional fans in the stands. And as you say, they have to pay the same for those preseason games as they pay for regular season. And again, they're not known to boo him. He had done nothing to them. He had been nothing but perfect model citizen off the field, right?
Skip.
So there's no reason to boo him for he did this to us.
He didn't do anything to them. We get this sometimes where you see the opposing player goes down, be it basketball or football, and they boo. You remember when Michael Irvin got hurt in Philly,
and it's different. The whole mentality is different.
I'm just trying to figure out, if you say they're booing it, the it is Andrew Luck retired. Mm-hmm. You booing his decision.
They're not booing him personally. They don't know anything about his decision.
They were confused at that point, which
Hold on. When I'm confused, the first thing I don't do is boo.
But you're speaking from a position of knowledge of you got to sit and watch his whole post game. They don't know anything about
Skip, even as I'm watching him off the field, I'm not yelling at the TV, he sucked.
No.
I'm not yelling, but he booed.
Wait a second, they didn't say he sucked.
But I'm just...
Nobody was saying he sucked.
So what does boo mean?
It means we're booing the situation like we just lost our Super Bowl. Yeah.
What? Skip.
They lost their Super Bowl.
Again, you make my point for me.
They don't think they can win the Super Bowl
Skip,
with Jacoby Brissett.
That's my point.
But it's not aimed personally at Andrew Luck. It's at the it situation. We don't have a Super Bowl anymore. What would you do?
Skip.
You'd be devastated.
No, Skip. You can't have an it. You can't part them. They're exclusive.
Yeah, you can.
No, you cannot.
You definitely can have an it.
You cannot have. Skip, the it is Andrew Luck.
They love Andrew Luck. Have you ever read?
They loved him so much, they booed him.
Have you read one negative story about Andrew Luck ever come out of Indy? I haven't read one.
No. Skip.
Media loved him.
But it wasn't
the media. Not one dissenting voice that I'm aware of in the whole Indy media. Sorry.
I don't know if Bob Kravitz still worked for the Indy paper, but I'm sure he wasn't.
TV station.
I'm sure he wasn't booing. I'm not talking about the media. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the fans. Mm-hmm. Those fans were booing. So if Andrew Luck thought, you know what, I think they're booing it. I think they're like the situation. That's why they're booing. No, they're booing him because as he walked off the field, it was unnecessary.
I don't think so. I thought it was predictable.
So let me get this straight. So I'm just going to make sure I'm hearing you correctly. Let's just say the last game of the season, next year or whenever it is, Tom Brady says I'm retiring and he walks off the field. Are the fans going to boo?
Okay, he hadn't said it yet.
No, Skip.
It broke during the game. I told you it was a very unfortunate and rare circumstance.
Skip.
Yeah.
They're out there for a big game on Saturday night, and all of a sudden, in the middle of the game, they're seeing it on their phones. Andrew Luck is retired.
Skip, you can't excuse that behavior, Skip, because they're just finding out because they're emotional. No. I'm just asking you. Tom Brady, in week 17, says, guys, this is going to be my last game. After this, I'm done with football.
Well, he'd be cheering.
No. He walks off the field. How many people are going to boo? Why not, Skip? It's the situation. It's the it. He's retiring. Why won't they boo?
Well, again, the circumstance would be if Tom Brady, you saw on your phone midway through the fourth preseason game, Tom Brady's retiring. Would you be happy about that?
Now, I'm asking you a question. Yeah. If they found that out and Tom Brady walks off Gillette Stadium, how many people are booing?
I don't know. It'd depend on the circumstances if they knew nothing about it.
They knew nothing about it. They find out Tom Brady is retiring. How many fans in Gillette are booing?
Obviously, you said for three straight years that Tom Brady is going to retire, so they've been conditioned to think that he might retire.
Skip.
That would be different.
No.
Nobody was conditioned to think that.
Drew Brees, Ben Roethlisberger, end of the top.
Go younger. He's only 29 years of age. Tom Brady's 42.
Skip, all I'm saying is that is not normal for fans to boo their own player.
Nobody saw it coming. You opened the show by saying you were shocked by it.
I was, Skip. But just because I'm shocked by something doesn't mean I boo.
I don't know. It's just a typical reaction of boo it. You know, we just lost our Super Bowl.
Why? I'm shocked. Boo.
Yeah, I think a lot of Patriots fans would boo because they'd be thinking, Jared Stidham is going to have to take this team over?
I disagree. I think this is unacceptable. I think it paints not all of the fans boo, but it paints the people that were in the stadium. It paints a lot of them with the same brush with the people that did boo. Mm-hmm. And I know it wasn't everybody, but this is unacceptable.
I mean, Tom Brady gave those fans six Super Bowls. Andrew Luck gave his fans what?
Skip.
Four and four in the postseason?
He almost
got to one AFC Championship game and stunk it up.
You know what he gave him? He almost lost a kidney.
Okay.
He almost lost his life.
That's nobody cares about that.
Exactly.
They should.
That's my point, Skip. You make my point for me.
Nope. I'm making my point for me. He went 4-4, and in the big picture, he was a huge disappointment in Indy. He was.
Skip.
I don't know if the fans would even say that.
Skip,
now
he was a disappointment. Skip, you can't compare everybody to Tom Brady.
Well,
everybody that didn't go to 9 Super Bowls.
Well, you were asking me, would they boo Tom Brady? Well, again, he gave him so much, but Andrew didn't really leave much of a legacy.
What about Phillip Rivers? Yeah. Would they boo Phillip Rivers? He ain't won a championship. Would they boo Phillip Rivers?
Well, I don't know that they think they're a Super Bowl team like this team thinks it's.
Skip, they went to the divisional last year.
I got it. I don't know. I don't think there's that love. There was real love for Andrew Luck there.
Oh, so you love someone so much when you boo them.
Okay. The confusion was clearly there based on the timing.
Huge.
And you can't excuse the behavior because when you hear it, and you have said over and over again today that he's a broken man who'd lost the joy for the game. But what I hope is that fans will have a chance to redeem themselves if they honor him in a different way at some point, because he should not have that be his last moment.
I want you to literally down the field for my entertainment, and then I'll applaud.
It's harsh. Regardless of if they were confused, it's still hard on the guy.
What you confused by? A guy's retired.
Walking off.
It's a guy's retired.
Yeah, it's a lot to deal with.
$24.9 million to retire.
That's Mr. Irsay's fault. Mr. Irsay said we're going to talk about that, but that's him.
Okay, we're going to switch gears. We've been talking plenty about Jay-Z. Will his new deal with the NFL end up having a positive impact? This is good. We have professor and author Michael Eric Dyson. He's going to join the show next and give us his take. No mercy. Earlier this month, the NFL announced that it was entering a partnership with Jay-Z's entertainment company, Roc Nation, to advise on music, entertainment, and social justice projects. Joining us now to discuss this is Michael Eric Dyson, a sociology professor at Georgetown University and author of a forthcoming book about Jay-Z due out later this year. Michael, good to have you with us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you wrote a piece in the Washington Post about Jay-Z's involvement with the NFL and the subsequent reaction, drawing parallels to the relationship between Malcolm X and Dr. Martin Luther King. You say in the piece that this collaboration will actually have a positive impact. Can you elaborate for us?
Yeah. Well, I think, first of all, you know, people have overreacted in regard to Jay-Z's involvement here. A, they don't know what the exact involvement is. B, we haven't given him a chance to test his theory about how he can impact it. And three, this is what we're talking about when we say we're asking for a seat at the table on one's own terms. Colin Kaepernick, who has unfortunately and unjustly and unfairly been denied the possibility of playing on the gridiron, is a real issue that must be addressed. And the subject that he was protesting for, oppression against African-American people, systemic injustice, structural inequality, and racism, are still real. And should Mr. Kaepernick be granted justly a job tomorrow, the issues that he wants to confront are still there. Therefore, we must have a dual track here to secure justice for Colin Kaepernick, but also to address the broader issues that are at play here. And Jay-Z is addressing the broader issues. I think that's what he meant when he said, you know, moving from kneeling to doing something substantive. He wasn't trying to diss those who were kneeling. He wasn't trying to diss those who were protesting. If you listen to the more of the tape that has been released subsequent to the initial release, you'll see that Jay-Z was talking about the need to engage in sustained protests. But we have to also talk about what is strategy, what is planning, what is the operation here? How do we get to the issues that we're speaking about? How do we leverage our influence and authority as a cultural icon to make certain that those issues are achieved? So I think in that sense, it's a net win, and those who are skeptical have a right to be skeptical, but you don't have a right to judge before you see anything happen.
Doctor, my point, and I got two questions for you. One is that you say, do you believe that the criticism that he's receiving for taking, I guess, partnership with the NFL, do you believe he's being fairly, unfairly criticized? And then you mentioned in the piece, you said, this is like a relay race. Cap right. needs to understand he's a relay runner on a relay race and not a prize fighter fighting one-on-one.
Yes, sir. First of all, absolutely unjust that Jay-Z is being pilloried and pelted and attacked. For what? This is why I begin my piece with Malcolm X criticizing Martin Luther King Jr., calling him a sellout and Uncle Tom and the like. And it was later that Malcolm X had to realize you're in Harlem talking about Martin Luther King Jr., who's in Birmingham. So Birmingham is where the issues are. Don't stand in safety in Harlem and be a Monday morning quarterback. Go down to Birmingham where Bull Connor is beating women and children and African-American men, and then we can talk about your participation. So yes, calling names isn't helpful. Pillaring, you know, Jay-Z is not helpful. I think it's extremely unjust. Look at his record. The man has bailed out Black Lives Matter protesters along with Beyonce. He has a criminal justice reform alliance that he's generated. He's written op-eds. He's made documentaries about racial injustice. He gives his own lawyer freely to those African-American people who are facing unjust accusations and racial situations in America. So if the man's entire portfolio has suggested that he's a serious advocate for social justice, why be willing to throw him away and diss him because you disagree on this one issue? And as for Kaepernick, absolutely right. He's an extraordinary, iconic, and heroic figure. But it is a relay race. Pass the baton. Be involved with others. Join with Malcolm Jenkins, Anquan Boldin, Benjamin Watson. Speak about the necessity of both taking a knee to protest, talking about racial injustice, and coming to the table to make something about it, to do something about it. If the NFL owners, who have been ridiculous in many ways in denying Cap his just ability to get on that gridiron, are there, and many of them are Trump supporters, they've just hired a guy named Jay-Z who has been explicitly critical of Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. Here's a man who has called Donald Trump a superbug and has talked about his vicious, racist presence in American culture. They brought him to the table. So at least, let's at least give him the chance to work out his own vision of what needs to occur, and Kaepernick and Watson, Kaepernick and Malcolm Jenkins, Kaepernick and those who are engaged as players in the league must deliver for us a sensible, reasonable, rational approach to obtaining social justice. It means fighting from without and working from within. It means agitating from outside and activating from within. Jay-Z has earned the right to do what he's doing, and I think that it is extremely unfortunate and unjust for people to attack him before seeing what he's able to do.
Michael Eric Dyson, it is once again a privilege and a pleasure to listen to you. You have written a book on Jay-Z. Nobody has a deeper feel for this man's cultural impact than you do. I must admit, and we talked about it on the show last week, when I first heard from Jay-Z, we're past kneeling, I winced at that. But then, as I told Shannon across the table from me last week, if the grand design here, and Jay-Z is one of those people you should not bet against, but if the grand design is for him ultimately to maybe own an NFL franchise, to not only to have a seat at the table, maybe to have a voice behind closed doors in that room, then I'm all for it. Could you see that happening, that Jay-Z could ultimately be the first black owner of an NFL team?
Without question. You know, you can't bet against Hove. Here's a man who came from the bottom. Here's a man who came from nothing in the Marcy projects, in the housing projects, literally selling drugs to make a way out of no way, engaging in nefarious activities, illicit activities, and yet became a businessman. As he says, I'm not a businessman, I'm a businessman, so let me handle my business damn. So here's a guy who has been extremely ingenious in not only lyrical creativity and poetic invention, but also tethering that to business-like, entrepreneurial-like activities and engagement. So there's no question that this man is now a billionaire, the first billionaire within hip-hop, using his, you know, authority, his insight, his intelligence, his broad engagement with the culture, his savvy. Why doubt him now? Everything else he's done has been golden in terms of his touching, creating something out of nothing, and using the powerful intelligence of those around him, along with his own, to make certain that he's doing the right thing. I definitely think that he could become the first African-American owner of a football team, and therefore display, again, his prowess, his intelligence, and his compassion, and his inclination to be a social justice advocate at every level. He's earned that benefit of the doubt, and I think there's no question that Jay-Z has those skills. Who you know fresher than Hov? Riddle me that. The rest of y'all know where he's lyrically at. So there's no question.
Talk to
about
him, Doc.
That.
Doc, Ed Reed said something that it gave me pause. And when he said Jay-Z hadn't taken a knee, Ben Franklin had a famous quote. He said, only when those affected are unaffected or as equally as outraged as those affected can change come about. Because Jay-Z didn't take a knee, he doesn't have a right to try to fight for the very thing that you're fighting for. If we're trying to get to the same destination, does it matter the different path we take to get to that destination?
Absolutely not. And I admire greatly Mr. Reed. He's highly intelligent. He's articulate about his viewpoint, but I disagree with him in this regard. Jay-Z didn't take a knee, but he stood tall to represent the culture from which he emerges. He didn't take a knee, but he was able to stand up on his own two feet and represent intelligently his perspective in the world. So if you're part of a relay race, that means everybody ain't doing the same thing in order to get the same product. Look, I worked in a factory. Automobile factory. So I was working as a welder, right? An arc welder, trying to make sure that the wheel balance was correct in the wheels of the tires. So that's what I was doing. Somebody else working on the window. Somebody else working on the fenders. If you say, you know, you never made a fender, but I made the wheel brake drum. But together, we created a car. So you're kneeling. That is, you know, Mr. Kaepernick's kneeling, somebody else raising a fist, Kenny Stills down in, in Miami doing what he's doing, which is extremely helpful and I think a good thing. We need everybody together, but everybody can't do the same thing. You have a division of labor. Everybody can't be a wideout. Everybody can't be a running back. Everybody can't be the quarterback. Everybody can't play offense and defense. I mean, so the point is you've got to have a division of labor. To suggest that because Jay-Z didn't take a knee doesn't mean that he didn't also engage equally, if not much more so, over a history of two decades of doing the right thing in his own music. Here's a guy talking about police brutality long before Eric Reed was talking about it. He said, Bin Laden been happening in Manhattan. Back then, back when, the police was Al-Qaeda to black men. So the reality is that this guy, Jay-Z, has made an extraordinary career about articulating the issues of police brutality, social injustice, economic inequality, and racial oppression in this country. He has earned his right to do what he does and to say what he believes. Mm.
So do you think that Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reed and Kenny Stills will be mature enough?
I'm sorry, I lost
enough
my piece here for a second. Okay.
We lose you for a second?
I got it right.
Do you think that Eric Reed and obviously Colin Kaepernick and Kenny Stills will be mature enough to eventually step back, take a deep breath, and see Jay-Z's bigger picture?
I hope so, and I think so. Look, they're all remarkable men. And the reason I began my article with Malcolm X, who's a remarkable man, but when you see Malcolm X coming so viciously, so vigorously, so in an ad hominem fashion against Martin Luther King Jr., why? We don't have to do that. If you disagree, disagree. State your claim. make apparent in playing why it is that you disagree, but you don't have to attack. You don't have to be nasty. It is perfectly reasonable to disagree with Jay-Z, but make an argument that is rooted in serious historical analysis and say that we have a principled disagreement. That's fine. But to assault him and to attack him and to suggest that he's less than a, you know, an authentic man, that he's a sellout, Jay-Z, who is from the very beginning to the very to this very point in history remained committed to blackness and identity and the culture, who makes the Louvre a footstool for the articulation of black aesthetics and culture, along with his incredible wife. I mean, these people have done extraordinary good and have had goodwill in this world. So I hope that Mr. Stills and Mr. Reed and Mr. Kaepernick will understand, because they are beautiful, powerful, engaging figures, but it's not one way or the other way. There's more than one way to get to sunset. If one street is closed, go another way. That's why detours are there. But the point is, we're still aiming for the same goal. There are many ways to skin a cat, and there are many ways to deal with a pigskin. To throw it, to punt it, to kick it, to receive it. We must all be involved in an equally engaging fashion and not, you know, remonstrate or narrowly, you know, despise those who may disagree with us. And I think that's wrong, to call names. Malcolm Jenkins is a highly intelligent, gifted ball player who said, I'm going to receive, along with Anquan Boldin and the Players Coalition, this $89 million that has been made as a concession from the owners of the league to do good things. What have they done? Hooked up with the Advancement Project, the Black Male Project. They've given money to projects that are serious about looking at police brutality, figuring out relationships between communities and police people and law enforcement. That is necessary work. Kneeling is one thing, strategizing is another. Protesting is one thing that's extremely important and continues to be important, while at the same time, a guy like Jay-Z is in there saying, not only let me tell you about who should appear at the halftime of the Super Bowl since I'm an entertainer, let me also suggest to you some of the projects that you should be concerned with when you're talking about criminal justice reform. Jay-Z has bailed out people. He's given money on Father's Day and Mother's Day to make sure that those who are unjustly incarcerated will be freed. So that there's a wide range of things that he has done that suggests to us he knows what he's talking about. So you don't have to attack him and brutalize him because you disagree. And I think all of those men eventually will indeed see the same, or at least come together to see that we're on the same team, we're aiming for the same goal. Sometimes there are spats, sometimes there are disagreements, but ultimately we must achieve the same common dream.
Okay. Mm. Michael, great stuff. Really important to get your take on that. Looking forward to the book as well. You obviously
Appreciate it, Doc. Thank you. Thanks for joining the show.
Jim Irsay said he would not rule out a return by Andrew Luck. We'll discuss the chances of that happening next. No mercy. So the Grizzlies waived Dwight Howard Saturday, paving the way for the eight-time All-Star to team up with LeBron and Anthony Davis in L.A. Howard will reportedly sign a non-guaranteed contract with the Lakers after impressing the team in a workout on Friday. The Lakers passed on another former All-Star big man, Joakim Noah, before taking a chance to bring Dwight back to L.A., where he played one drama-filled season with Kobe Bryant in 2012. Shannon, is Dwight Howard a good fit for the Lakers?
I think he's the best fit of the options that they had. Skip, you know what? They were really trying to get Karl Anthony Towns, but he was unavailable. You ought to stop. Yeah, he's a good fit. Considering, let's just take...
I don't want you to say anything anyway.
You'd be cutting me off all morning.
I haven't said a word.
Good.
He hasn't said anything.
If you look at the available options, Dwight Howard, Joakim Noah, Moses Fates, Morcine Gortat. Dwight Howard, if he's half of what he once was, he's better than all of these guys may have been in their entire careers at their absolute best. Just 2 years ago, Skip, he gave you 17, 12 and a half and two, playing 30 minutes a night. Now, they're not going to need him to give you 30 a night, but can he 30 minutes a night, but can he give you somewhere between 20 and 25 and give you somewhere between 8 points, 11 rebounds, and a block or two? I believe he can.
Yeah.
Probably going to start. JaVale comes off the bench. Who knows how that's going to shape. But I believe, and plus he had a deep conversation with LB, King James, and Brow.
Really?
He said, guys, look, I'm on this redemption tour.
Redemption.
This is my last chance. Because think about this, Skip, where he's been. from the time he left to the Lakers and went to Houston and Atlanta and Charlotte and Washington, no, Brooklyn, Washington, Grizzlies. Two teams in the last 2 years have bought him out. Mm. They say, bro, we don't even want you with salary. We just trying to get clear some salary space. We gonna buy you. We don't even want you. Because they told him, yeah, you can go and talk to the Lakers while he was on a date. Hmm. Are you gonna, if you on a date, Skip, you're not going to let the person you on a date with take a call from somebody else. They let Dwight Howard take a call on a date with somebody else. That should tell, you know what? This, I don't think this is going to work out for us. Hmm. That's what they told Dwight Howard. But guess what? One man trash is another man treasure.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I heard that.
Yeah, sure is. Mm. Got a lot of good things growing up out the trash. Apples, oranges, bananas, but that's neither here nor there. I like it. And gets us closer to that 56. Mm. You know what, Skip?
Oh, you want to miss? You want to go
you're
up?
Still there.
Skip, there's something on the horizon brewing.
That's a championship. What is it?
That's a championship.
Championship, I smell disaster.
Are you serious?
No, you don't. No, you don't.
You're going there?
I'm going. Yeah. 56 on a chip.
We're close enough to Staples. I can smell the disaster in the air. It's a recipe for disaster.
He's changed.
It's cooking right now.
He's changed. He's repent. Skip, he said he repented.
Well, as he approaches age 34, he just completely changed all his intangibles. He changed what this man is made of. He's a different man now, says Dwight Howard.
Yep.
Once upon a time at Staples Center, Kobe Bryant said, you know what? I'm going to show Dwight how to take basketball more seriously. How did that work out, Mr. Sharp?
It didn't work out well.
Yeah,
but Kobe finally said,
I give up. Get him out of here.
Skip, here's the thing. If the man says, I'm hungry, that doesn't mean you force feed him. The man said he's hungry. You stuffing sandwiches and bread and chips and cookies down his throat. Let him eat at his own pace.
He didn't say he was hungry. He was full.
No, he was
full of money.
But didn't you hear what he said? Mm. Now, Sean said that he had a great conversation with LeBron.
Yeah.
He said, guys, I give. And plus, what the Lakers do, Skip, they thought, say, I tell you what, this was, Dwight, we ain't going to give you no guaranteed money because you might act a fool even if we just give you $2.5 million. Mm-hmm. If you act up, if
Gone.
You show out,
yep.
You get out.
Okay.
Zero tolerance.
That's what I like.
Short leash.
Yep.
You're gone. You're out.
Yes. Mm.
Yeah, you just told me he's going to start over JaVale.
He might.
Really?
He might.
They said he's going to at least compete with JaVale. What do you think Dwight's going to think in his heart of hearts? I'm Dwight Howard. Yeah. I'm defensive player of the year.
Three times over.
Yeah. I'm a perennial all-star.
First team all NBA. Three or four times.
He's JaVale McGee. He was once a laughing stock in this league, right?
But guess what, Skip? The thing that I love most about sports is that I get to prove somebody right or wrong. Mm. Oh, you say it's going to be a competition? Mm. Well, guess what? Toss the ball up. If JaVale better than me, he starts. Mm. But if I'm not, he sit it down. Mm. It's simple as that.
So Dwight Howard, the great Dwight Howard, has now been on 5 teams in 5 years? How do you defend that?
What does that tell you?
6 in the last 8.
Woo!
Hey, sometimes, Skip Bayless, the old saying, you got to kiss a lot of frogs to find the prince. He had to go to a lot of teams to find the right one. He back. Sometimes what
he was a prince who turned into a frog.
Yeah.
Right? He did.
Well, he turned back.
Oh, he turned back just now? LeBron pecked him on the cheek and he turned back.
You saw the movie Shrek.
Yep.
Fiona, the love of his life. Mm. She was exactly what he was. Mm. So guess what, Skip Bayless?
Not to mention that Dwight Howard has missed 134 games over those last 5 seasons. So he's been like luckless like Andrew Luckless was, right? He's been luck.
But Skip, injured. Here's the thing, though. All those shoulders he had. What did he have? Shoulders, he had labrum, and he had some knees, he had his back, all that.
Mm.
Got new parts up in there.
Really?
Ready to go for the season.
Really? Ready to go. I think this is all wishful thinking on your part because the Lakers soap opera just got a whole lot soapier because this is going to be a whole nother layer to soap opera, and they're going to be must-see TV. I will give you this. This enhanced the marquee value of the LA Lakers.
You like soaps.
Yeah.
This is not a rendition of As the World Turns.
Yeah.
This is The Bold and the Beautiful.
I grew up on As the World Turns.
I like Young and the Restless myself, but
yeah. Well, here we go. This will be like nighttime, showtime soap opera.
The drama is there.
Here we go.
See, you want dissension. Mm-hmm. You don't want LeBron to get that chip. You don't want us to win games on a regular basis because you know how that makes me behave. Mm. You know, like something like the moon, like a full moon, some people act, you know, strange. That's how I get with LeBron. But I'll be acting crazy for like the first 30 games because I got a feeling our record going to be something like 22-8. Could I interest you in that?
Sure. And then what's going to happen? They were 20-14 last year.
We will win at least, at the bare minimum, we're winning at least 56 games.
Okay. Why don't you go up? You just got Dwight Howard, three-time defensive player of the year. Go up.
No, if we got
go 58.
If that was Dwight Howard in year five, I'm not going to do that. Okay. But Skip, we don't need that Dwight Howard.
He's only 33.
We don't need a Dwight Howard that's going to give us 20-15. That's not what we need. We need somebody that can give us possibly anything he gives us over 8 points. We gladly accept. But long as he keep them old double-digit rebounds, that LeBron don't have to do all that rebounding, so all we're going to do is be scoring and assisting.
Okay. So Dwight Howard, who can't shoot free throws, especially in fourth quarters, Dwight Howard, who has no low post game to speak of that I've ever been able to see, any low post moves where he can say, give me the ball and I'll score it this way. Does he have a little baby hook?
But I don't know. Hold on. Did you actually, the only big that they're going to run plays for is Anthony Davis. JaVale McGee doesn't get any play.
The reluctant center who is Anthony Davis.
No.
Be a five.
Right. But come fourth quarter, he might have to play the five to close out the ball game.
He might have
now,
to.
We're not talking about starting.
So I like Dwight Howard personally, and I've been around him a couple times. I like him. He's got a real pleasant personality. He's fun to be around.
Okay.
I do not love his intangibles because they always border on what I would call loser's intangibles. Sorry to be so harsh about that.
But we got him around the ultimate winner now. That going to rub off.
That could affect things. 3-6. Finals. 3-6.
You always bring it up old stuff.
The ultimate winner last year, this is not old, but last year he was 28-27 as a starter.
Is that below or above 500?
It's a game. That's the ultimate winner, says Shannon Sharp.
Was he hurt, yes or no?
Well, he wasn't hurt when he started those games.
Skip, you know he was hurt because that factored in when he came back after that groin injury.
Really?
You know he wasn't the same player.
Oh, maybe Father Time tapped him on the shoulder.
Shrugged him off.
Yeah.
They're going to be the ones to watch. Well, a couple of teams to watch.
Boy,
it is like a reality show.
So much
modern
fun.
Day soap opera.
Okay.
It's great for us. No mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. We'll see you then.
Facts. Sports. One of one.